give a.
In your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, it's on page 865 in the Black Bibles. And just an announcement, next Sunday is sunrise service, 6 o'clock.
Easter Sunday.
Sorry. On the 12th. It's at 6 o'clock. If you need a ride, we'll arrange that, so my dad know. And then we still have regular service at 11 o'clock, so don't try to hit one and done. Early in the morning, praise the Lord. When you have the same minute, it's Ephesians chapter 5. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just want to thank you for another opportunity to come and to read and to be in the fellowship of the saints, Father God. We want to give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen and amen. How many here, and I ask this question all the time, how many of y'all here ready to go to heaven? Praise the Lord.
Ready.
How many of you know
ready to go to heaven,
that there is a price that has to be paid in order for you to go to heaven? There is a price that has to be paid for you to go to heaven. And I have good news. Jesus Christ has paid the price of admission.
Amen.
But nevertheless, if I go to the movie theater and I purchase the ticket and I get admission, if I do not conduct myself accordingly, if I do not follow the rules, if I don't behave myself wisely, even though the ticket has been paid for, if I act the fool, I can find myself being kicked out. Let me tell you something, saints. Jesus paid the price for us to go to heaven on the cross of Calvary. But if we play the fool, if we don't do what we're supposed to do and act how we're supposed to act and go where we're supposed to go and live how we're supposed to live, he can at any time say, I paid the price. These are my rules. These are my guidelines. You are not following. You are not abiding. And therefore, you have to go. It'll happen for people that think everything's just okay. We must conduct ourselves correctly, amen, or be thrust out. And the reason I say that is this message this morning, in Ephesians, Paul was dealing with a church that had been saved, but did not let it go through their entire being. He was dealing with people that knew the Lord, that knew the things of God, but for whatever reason would hold on to their former life and were doing their former things. And he's trying to tell you in not so many words that you can't do anything and go to heaven. It's not going to happen. You can't live any kind of way and expect to go to heaven. It's not going to happen. Don't deceive yourself is what he's trying to say in these letters that we're going to go through this morning. He's saying don't be a fool, because this is not what inherits the kingdom of God. So as a Christian, when we read the Word of God, we have to say to ourselves, is my life aligning up with the Scriptures, or is it not? Is there something that I'm allowing that will cause me great pain? Is there something that I'm allowing that will keep me out of the kingdom? Am I being faithful to what God has called me? Amen. This morning I'll be ministering on a message simply entitled, Walk Worthy, Sanctified Saints. Walk Worthy, Sanctified Saints. The word sanctification means to be set apart. Set apart for God's own purpose, meaning that God has called us out of this world and has separated us unto himself for His purpose. And the way that God sanctifies us is He delivers us. There's not a person that comes to God that He does not deliver at one point or another. Because until He delivers, He can get no service out of us. He will tell Pharaoh to go, he told Moses to tell Pharaoh, let my people go that they may come and serve me. Not that they, not let them go so they can go live their life and do what they want to do, but for my pleasure, for my purpose, let my people go that they might worship me. A child of God has to understand beyond the shadow of a doubt that there is a separation between you and the world. There's a separation between you and what is okay for everybody else. Because what's okay for a child of God, I'll say it a little better, what's okay for the child of this world is not okay for the child of God. We are a peculiar people called by God's name. We are separated to be a light unto this world. But if we allow ourselves to continue in the sin that God has called us from, we make the price of the admission void. Jesus didn't say nobody for you to stay unsaved. He didn't go to Calvary for us to remain foolish. So He sent teachers, apostles, prophets to put it in black and white so that there can be no controversy. There are some things in the Scripture that are debatable. There are some things in the Scripture that are, you know, need some understanding. But then God, through His epistle, He makes it clear. So no one can stand before God and say, Lord, I didn't know. I didn't know. Before we go to Ephesians 5, amen, I want you to read verse 1 of chapter 4. Someone read verse 1 of chapter 4 of Ephesians. Just verse 1.
Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called.
Amen. Scripture says, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation whereunto you were called. Skip down to verse 17 for me real quick. The Word of God reads this. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, through the ignorance that is in them, because of blindness of their heart, who have been past feeling, have gotten given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness, but you have not so learned Christ. If it so be that you have heard of Him, and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning your former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and the renewed and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which is after God created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speaking every man's truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath, neither give peace, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more. Let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but which is good to use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed into the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you, and with all malice. Be kind one to another, in a tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ sake have forgiven you. So in this context, before we get to our text, what was happening? Paul was telling people, walk worthy to you according to your calling. Don't act like you acted before. Let people know that there is a distinction between you and them. Don't be like other Gentiles that talk and lie and steal and do this and do that. No, you put off these things. You put off everything that the old man has part of. How many of y'all want to wear the same stink clothes that you wore yesterday? How many of y'all want to wear the same undergarments 2 days in a row? Nobody. We have to put off the old man because he's filthy. Filthy. Before we came to Christ, we were filthy. Stinking, stank, stunk. No good. People, you walk up in the crowd, whoo-wee, like someone let wind. Because it was, that's how much filth that was in the old man. So as a Christian, we have to understand that God, through Jesus Christ, has separated us from the old man.
place here.
We need to understand it up here so that it can take place here. No Christian should ever be the same as they were when they were in this world.
Amen.
It should never happen. Now, there are times in your life when you might stumble or make a mistake or find yourself doing things that are not conducive to the body of Christ, but the Holy Spirit will convict that and tell you to repent and turn around and not do it again. But we have to constantly be striving to put on the new man. We have to make a constant effort every single day to remember who we are in this world. We ought to start our day saying, you know what, thank you, Lord, this is the day that you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Lord God, I thank you for giving me another opportunity to serve you. What will you have me to do today? We have to constantly remember that we have been saved.
Amen.
That we have been called. That we have been sanctified. Because the moment we begin to forget, we go back into our old ways. We must walk worthy. Sanctified saints. Now in the text this morning, there are things that Paul means through this letter to accomplish. This Bible is not meant for good advice. It's not. This is not a good advice book. It's not something that you open up saying, let's see what God has to say about this, and let's see what God's, oh, that's nice. They overcame Jericho. Woo. This is not a book of a good advice. Say to your neighbor, this Bible is not good advice. This is not good advice. It's not something you can choose to take and choose to leave behind. You can't just take what you want and run with away from the other. This is instruction for your life.
Amen.
I didn't write it. Sister Evans didn't write it. My dad didn't write it. Tommy didn't write it. Anderson didn't write it. God Almighty wrote it through his apostles, through his prophets, through his teachers. So understand, this is not something that is just good advice.
Amen.
This isn't something you can nod your head to and say, yeah, that's nice. Maybe this applies to me. Maybe it doesn't, you know. The bottom line is, when the Word of God comes, it is to bring about one purpose. To bring you into the unity of the Spirit. To make you understand that there is a right way and a wrong way, and the Word of God is to correct the wrong way, that you can go into the right way. Amen.
Amen.
Let's read Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. Amen. Be therefore followers of who?
God.
As what?
Children.
What do children do? They obey their mom and dad. They follow their mom and dad. If they go out of line, mom and dad say, hey, get over here. And what does verse 2 say? It says, and walk in love as Christ has loved us and hath given himself for us as an offering, as sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. All right? So far, so good? Verse 3. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be named once among you as becometh saints. So if I'm a child of God, and I read this verse, and it says, for fornication, all uncleanness, or covetousness, let it not be named once among you, what should that tell me as a child of God? What is acceptable and what's not acceptable as a child of God, right? So what is fornication? What is, and this is a big what is, all uncleanness? What is that? All uncleanliness, that encompasses everything. Everything. Maybe you don't understand what fornication is, the same thing as prostitution. But in case you didn't get that one, Paul goes on and says, all uncleanliness. That means the thoughts of your mind, the actions of your body, the things that we hold on to that aren't of God, all uncleanliness has got to go. If you wouldn't be doing it, Jesus was standing right in front of you, then you shouldn't be doing it because it's unclean.
Amen.
Now these things are given to us so that we don't make the same mistakes that other Christians have made.
Right.
So he says, but fornication, all uncleanliness or covetousness, let it not be named 10 times among you. 20 times among you? Why is it such a Why is that so important to God that we remain pure? Anybody know why that's so important?
Because he's pure.
Why does God give so much instruction to a child of God to abstain from these things? These things, as we'll learn, get you thrust out. You can't do them as a child of God. You can't. There's no grace for it. God will forgive of the sin, but we have to constantly understand that this is not acceptable. Not because I said so, not because John said so, not because Mr. Lash said so, but because God said so. He goes on a little further. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ of God. Who said that? Did I say that? Did I write the book? But the book clearly says here, for this you know. Brother Wallace, you better know this. Sister, you better know this. You need to know these things. That no whoremonger, which is the same word as fornicator, or unclean person, which matches up with verse 3, or all uncleanness, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance with the kingdom of Christ and of God. We have to walk worthy. Amen? There are Christians that do these things and are constantly in fear of judgment. And there are Christians that don't. There are people that have done these things, amen, I ain't perked my dog on self, but have turned from them and now walk worthy, amen. If we find ourselves not living a life that is conducive to the body of Christ, we have to let it go or we won't go. That's how serious it is. God has given us every single thing that we need to have perfect peace, total victory, and 100% dominion in this life. He's given us power over the devil. He's given us power over the flesh. He's given us power over the things of this world. He's made us wise to the devil's devices. We have no excuse because all things that we need, he has given us to be victorious. This word of God is said to be the sword of the Spirit. You got a problem in your life? You got someone wanting you to do what's not of God? All you got to do is open up the book and say, hey, buddy, you're not saved. The Bible says I can't have fellowship with you. You can do one of two things. You can get down on your knees and give your life to Jesus Christ and be saved and be sanctified and be healed by the blood of Jesus, or I can't have fellowship with you, because what's going to happen, you'll bring me to your pit. You'll twist my mind to your ways. But the Word of God says for me to abstain from you and to embrace the cross.
Amen.
We can't play these foolish games. Amen. If you hold on to a leper, and you're pure, you're going to get leprosy.
Amen.
If you hold on to garbage long enough, you're going to start to stink.
Right.
So what do we do?
Well, Lord, you know I love Petey. I wish he was saved, but, you know, Lord, maybe you'll just use me. And, well, I'll just love him anyway and just hope for the best.
There's a right way, and there's a wrong way. There's a righteous way and an unrighteous way. There's the way of the cross, and then there's the way of us.
Amen.
Let me read it again. Know this.
But God, I loved you. I gave my life to you. But know this.
Nothing is tolerable in heaven but obedience. Nothing is okay in heaven but obedience. What happened to the disobedient angels? They got thrust out. They can't have to you. They can't have to you. Lucifer was one of God's chief angels. He was called the bright morning star, Lucifer. There was no other star. Lord has been given us as much wisdom as Lucifer. But the moment he thought that he was bigger than God, the moment he said unto himself, I will make my throne above that of God in heaven, God said, I'm going to bring you down like a man. And when the man kills you, will you say to him that you're a God? He went from glory to a desolate place because he thought he was bigger than God.
Amen.
Sure. You think that your word is more powerful than God's word? Do you think that your prayer to God is going to get you out of hell with him? No. We can either obey the golden rule. Obey, you say, disobey, be on your way. Paul was telling these people because a lot of them just didn't know. They didn't have the internet. They didn't have Bible studies where you just call 800 number at convenience. Say, Paul, you know, I got this person in my life that I like, but, you know, he really don't believe in Jesus. And, you know, what should I do? They didn't have that. So when they would come together in church, they would have these meetings, these letters would be read, and if you were doing something that was wrong, you had to go and do what was right. Amen? So as a child of God, verse 6, this is key. He says, let no man deceive you. Amen?
Amen.
With vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Meaning that people were going to tell you that everything's okay. Anybody ever told you that everything's just going to be okay? Everything's fine. Everything's okay. You don't have to worry about anything. Paul says, let no man deceive you with vain words. Vain words are words that have no founding. Words that are just said to be said to give you a sense of false peace. Like, for instance, sometimes you might ask your spouse, do I look good? Be the crack of dawn, hair ain't done, breath stinking. And they say, baby, do I look good? And just to get out of the situation, you might say, oh yeah, you look great, honey. Perfect. Vain words that have no true founding. Just to give a false peace for a particular moment. The Bible says, be not partakers with them. Not Adam says. I'll be honest with you. Who here has not made a mistake? Who here has not made a mistake in their life? We've all fallen. We've all made mistakes.
Amen.
The Bible says a righteous man, a just man, falls 7 times in a day and gets back up. We've all made mistakes. But we have to repent. You can't stay in the same mistake your whole life and expect God to be pleased. He gives his word to show us that we're wrong, to convict us, so that he can embrace us, so that we can say, Lord, I'm sorry what I've been doing. I'm sorry for the things that I've done. Please forgive me. Please help me to make the right choices so that he can bring us into a better relationship with him. But if you're not willing to go, if we're not willing to go, God can't help us. We have to walk worthy of the calling. We have to be able to say, this is what's right for my life. And this is what's not right for my life. If you're not going to be a blessing to me, then you're going to be a curse.
Amen.
A child of God should have no fellowship with unbelievers. Because the bottom line is, they'll try to get you to believe what they're believing. Every single time. The devil don't stop. He always wants to cause your brains to be twisted. And that's why it says, let no man deceive you.
Amen.
Verse 8. For we were sometimes darkness. But now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. How do we prove what is acceptable to the Lord? Say you don't have a Bible handy. And you don't know the right decision on a particular subject. You don't know what to say. For instance, you give a counseling to somebody and say they're in an abusive relationship. The man beats the woman and the woman beats the man. What do you tell them? What is the right advice to give people in that situation? You might not know at that particular time. What can you do as a Christian? Lord, what should I say? Lord, show me what is right. Lord, I want to eat bologna and cheese for dinner. What would you have me to do? The Lord will tell you what is right and what's wrong. That's what he does. He'll tell you what's right and what's wrong. And if there's any doubt, if it's right, then it's wrong. This is a good rule of thumb. If there's any doubt that it's wrong, then it's wrong. We can't be stupid anymore as Christians. The time is too short. People don't come to church. They don't come to Bibles. They don't open their Bibles up when they go home. Why? The scripture says in verse 19 of chapter 4, who being past feeling, meaning that they heard all the sermons, they had heard everything. How many times can I take a match and burn a part of my hand? You keep on burning it. After a while, you don't feel it anymore. There are people that have heard the word of God over and over and over again and been convicted and convicted and convicted, and the Holy Spirit still convicted, but they can't feel it no more. They're past feeling, meaning they don't feel that they're living wrong. They don't feel that they're doing things that are wrong. You know, not to bash on homosexuals, but what do you think has happened? They're beyond feeling. They think it's okay. Romans says that God has given them up to a reprobate mind that might believe a lie. They think it's okay to be gay. Hey, it's okay. We have to learn as a child of God, some things are right, some things are wrong, and if we do what is wrong, we put ourselves in jeopardy. Amen. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship. Wait, what does that say? Someone read verse 11 for me. Verse 11 of chapter 5.
And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it's a shame even to speak of those things unto the dying of them in secret. But that all things are reproved, are made manifest by light. Whatsoever does make manifest
his
light.
Amen. So it says in verse 11, go and have fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, right? Is that what it said? No, it said have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove it. Meaning not only am I not going to do what's not right, but I'm going to go tell the people that are doing what's not right, that is not right. The word reprove means to rebuke, to admonish, to correct, to let them know that it's wrong. That's what a child of God is to do, is to be a light in a dark place. That is walking worthy of the calling. That is being a sanctified saint, meaning that, you know, I know what's right. I'm set apart. You're the one that's in darkness. I'm going to stand here and proclaim, thus saith the Lord, that you might be saved. Verse 14, almost done. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ will give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Be not drunk with wine, where it is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord. What a letter. Paul gives us the instructions for life, amen, that we don't find ourselves in the same situation a year from now. Hear what I'm saying? God doesn't want you to be in the same situation that you're in a year from now. He doesn't want you to be wondering that when you die, if you're going to go to heaven. Jesus has done everything that has been necessary for us to be saved. All we have to do is walk and let go. You see, crucial thing had to happen. Crucial thing happened in Exodus. God did everything that was necessary to deliver his people from Egypt. He sent the plagues, he sent the frogs, the locusts, the flies, turned the Nile blood, he let the cattle, he let fire fall from heaven, and then he let the firstborn die of every single person that was not covered in the blood. But the child of God had to make a choice. Do you know that some of them wanted to stay behind? even after all that God had done for them, some of them wanted to stay behind. They wanted to stay. They wanted to stay in slavery. They wanted to stay at Pharaoh's whip. They were so used to the devil and his rule that they didn't know what it was to be free. They had to make a choice. And that's what we have to do today, is make a choice. Will we remain in bondage? Or will we see that the prison door has been opened and we can walk out, amen? Will we remain in bondage? Remain at Pharaoh's whip? Whoopsh. Whoopsh. Make my bricks. Whoopsh. Build up my images. Whoopsh. Sleep outside. Whoopsh. Murder your children. That's what the devil did. Or will we make the choice to see that Jesus Christ, through what he has done on the cross, has given us victory? He's opened the door up for any person that wants to leave hell. Pharaoh said, get him out! I don't want him no more! They destroyed my kingdom! But the child of God had to choose to walk out in faith. They had to choose to leave what was comfortable, what was tolerable, and to go out on dry land and allow God to bless them. Millions of people left from structure to a desert. It is when you are out in the desert place that you learn God, that you learn His provision, that you learn His strength and His power. But until you're willing to say, you know what? I'm not going to do this what I've been doing anymore. Lord, I realize that I'm wrong, and I realize that you're right. I don't want to be like this. I'm choosing to go forward. It's at that moment God can say, all right, now I can work with you. But if you want to play the game, play it. You'll have no part. That's the bottom line. Jesus has done everything that he can do to save you. Amen. But if you want to have no part, all you got to do is do what's not of God. Amen? Amen. Let's all stand this morning.
hand on our hand and bring it to the still water, Father. And you are the next step.
You was not worthy. We're not worthy of what Christ did for us, but he thought we was worthy. Doesn't matter what. I know I wasn't worthy. Nobody was worthy of his blood that he shed for us, but God has made us worthy now, so we have to walk worthy of the call on which he called us. We've been called out of darkness into marvelous light. We've been word sanctified, means set apart. God has chosen us out of the world to set us apart as a peculiar people, as what some are saying. But what the Lord has been dealing with me all week is about Galatians 2:20. We have to we think we got to do everything. We don't have to do anything but yield. Just yield to the Holy Spirit. We try to imitate Christ, but Paul said, Christ in me. He said, my old man, he died, but Christ lives in me. I'm living, but it's Christ in me. So our job as a Christian is to let the Spirit that's in you manifest outward to other people. But you have help in this walk. You want to quit sinning? Yield to the Holy Spirit. But God never commands us to do anything without giving us the ability to do it. I thank God for the message and messenger. I had a praise report, but I get it all the time. See, your light is shining. Everybody, you know, your light is shining because Benji said he's so proud of you. My cousin, he said he's so proud. And ain't the first time I heard somebody say that, so you just keep on looking, because people are looking and see how God has changed. I'm going to encourage you to keep on doing what you're doing, because people take notice. Even though you might not tell you, but he said, I'm so proud of her. And it's funny that people be happy for us, but you want to be happy for them too. So they didn't, and I told him, if, you know, you see Charlie, like God will change his life. That's a testimony of what God can do. So if she can do it, you can do it too. So we give all the glory to God. But you know, when you know, we don't toot our horns, but some we can. Other people can't toot our horns for us. And that's not the first time somebody said that. So keep on doing. Keep on letting the light shine that's in you. That's my encouragement to you this week. It's mortgage time, and it's also our mortgage insurance is due on the 11th of April. So we're going to make two payments a year.
We just started getting our insurance back now, but